that would allow us to become more like Christ? When's the last time we made a drastic change in our life in order to become more like Christ? Do we want to see it enough to move beyond that spiritually shallow mindset of merely doing that which is necessary to get to heaven? I'm just going to do what I got to do to get to heaven. Is it heaven or hell? If it's heaven or hell issue, I'll side on the side of heaven. But if it's not exactly a heaven or hell issue, then I'll just live how I want to live. You're going to be saved, probably, but you're never going to see his glory in a demonstration like he has promised us to see his glory when we live on that shallow dimension of heaven or hell. Do we want to see it enough to go beyond that mindset of doing those things because we have to? Well, if I have to do it, then I'll do it. I have to go to church, if I have to pray, if I have to do this, if I have to give tithes, if I have to dress this way, if I have to let my hair like that, if I have to do this, if I have to do it, then I'll do it. Are we willing to desire his glory to a dimension where we move beyond the dimension of just doing this because we have to do it and enter into a dimension of doing it because we know that it pleases a holy God? And I'm not living in these parameters because I'm forced to live in these parameters. I'm living in these boundaries because I know it pleases the Holy One of Israel. It pleases the one who saved me. It pleases the one who died for me. It pleases the one who shed his blood for me. It pleases the one who forgave me of my sins and washed my sins away and filled me with his precious spirit. I don't do this because I have to. I do it because it pleases him. You see, when you get that mindset, what you are saying is, I'm happy to be submitted to the boundaries. And when you're happy and submitted to the boundaries, it moves you into a dimension of being a true worshiper. I want you to see something now. Somebody said amen. The Lord speaks to Moses. Stay with me now. Stay with me. The Lord speaks to Moses about how he was to build the temple in the Old Testament for his glory to dwell in. And the writer of Hebrews would speak of it this way when he says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, now watch, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make, you're kind of talking about the Lord having this conversation with Moses, say, see, I want you to make all things according to the pattern that was showed to you on the mountain. Moses, you don't get to build my temple however you want to build it. You don't get to make my temple look like what you want my temple to look like. I want you to follow the pattern that I have given you. I've told you exactly what it's supposed to look like. I've told you exactly how to build it. And that's exactly my expectation of what it should be. In fact, there are multiple chapters in the book of Exodus where we find the Lord giving very specific instructions for how he wanted his temple to look. And I want to show you how specific God was with all of this. There's a few verses I want to read in your hearing, but I want you to get the point of what I'm trying to say. This is how specific God was about all of this. Exodus 39 and verse 32. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses for what the temple was supposed to look like. Verse 33. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent. Now just get the picture. And all his furniture, his tashes, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets. And the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, the staves thereof, the mercy seat, the table, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, and the pure candlestick, with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for the light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar and his grate of brass, his staves and all of his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, and the hanging for the court gate, his cords and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his sons, garments to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of the Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. I read all of those things because I wanted us to see that when it came to God's temple, he was not just interested in the big things. The prominent things, or the most notable things. No. I feel the Holy Ghost. When it came to his temple, the Lord wanted everything to be in alignment with the pattern that he had established. Everything. Somebody shout everything. It did not matter to God if those things were noticeable or unnoticeable, big or small, significant or seemingly insignificant, publicly displayed or privately displayed. He wanted everything to be exactly how he said it should be. I want to give you a for instance of what I'm talking about. Look at this, Exodus chapter 26 and verse 32. God speaking to Moses, giving him the plan. And he says, and thou shalt, stay with me please, and thou shalt hang it upon four pillars. So you're going to build these pillars. Thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Now, what we need to know about shittim wood was that it was very difficult to harvest. Because it had large 2 to 3 to 4 inch thorns coming out all over it. Can you imagine trying to cut that? It was like a big bush. And you had to get to the trunk of it because that's where the wood would come from. But you had all these thorns. Difficult. Not only that, but it was a very, very heavy wood. So once they had dealt with all of the thorns, it was then very cumbersome and heavy to carry the wood to where it needed to be. And it was a very hard wood. So cutting it was difficult. Shaping it was difficult. They didn't have power tools. They didn't have Ryobi. Carving it was difficult. Making it be what God told them to do with the very specific dimensions and instructions, it was very hard to do. But here's the thing, Sister Fable. This is the revelation God gave me. I want you to see, God required them to go through all of that effort, all of that work, all of that sacrifice. And then he says, now cover it with gold. I just hiked 20 miles out into the desert. Look at all the scars all over me from pushing through those thorns. Cut it down. Drug it. Chiseled it. Blood, sweat, and tears. And now you're saying, cover it with gold? Nobody's even going to see it. And if nobody's going to see it, why couldn't I have used an easier wood? couldn't I have used a more convenient wood? If it's just going to be covered over. But they understood the fact that it was not about their convenience. And it was not about their ease. And it was not about what was comfortable for them to do. It was about God's pattern. Come on, Jesus. My friend, I'm here to tell somebody, he has an expectation for what his temple should look like. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. And there is a pattern for how he wants us to look and how he wants us to live and how he wants us to talk and how he wants us to dress and how he wants us to live. There's a pattern, and it's not established by man. It is established by the word of the Lord. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. There's a pattern. And if we want to see little glory, then let's allow our temples to be conducted in a manner that is comfortable, convenient, easy. It is easier to not have to live holy. It's easier to not have to stand out. How many know it's easier to go with the flow than against the flow? It's easier to look like everybody and act like everybody, fit in with everybody else. Now, we understand the ramifications of that, but you know what I'm talking about. Ultimately, it's not easier because sin leadeth to death and death is destruction. But you understand what I'm talking about as far as lifestyle choices. It's easier. You may be seated. It's easier. It's easier. How many know there's things we do that is not at all convenient? It's not comfortable to live this way. I had a lady one time. I probably told the story before. We were still over in the other building. I had a lady one time, I was preaching, and it was a guest lady. She was a devil is what she was. But she showed up, and somebody told me after service, she wants to talk to you. And I didn't want to talk to her. I just picked up a wrong vibe from her. I don't want to talk to her. And so I was just doing everything else, talking to everybody else. And I just figured the lady would leave. She stuck around and stuck around and stuck around. Eventually, I think it was just me and my wife and this lady left. So I thought, well, I guess I better talk to her. So I went over and she said, Pastor, she said, I got a word from the Lord for you. I said, okay. And she said, it's powerful here. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, the presence of the Lord is awesome here. Yes, ma'am. She said, I want to tell you something. If you'll stop preaching holiness the way you do and separation the way you do, she said, if you'll stop preaching it so hard, this building will not be able to contain the revival and the harvest of people. You want to know why? Well, let me just finish the story. I looked at her. I said, ma'am, I do not receive that at all. I said, in fact, if anything, I think I need to preach it harder. With greater love and greater compassion. Why? Because I have an understanding. When you live within the boundaries, glory, glory, glory. I don't want something insignificant. I don't want a church that just splashes in the shallows of his glory. I don't want just a crowd. I don't want just people. I don't want just a conglomeration of individuals. No. I want a family of God that is walking in the power and the dimension of the glory of God's Spirit. Come on, I want something deep in this church. I want the glory of God to be deep. I don't want it to just be waters up to our ankles. I don't want it to just be waters up to our thighs. I want it to be waters that we swim in. That's the glory that's been promised to us. The glory. The temple. He's got a pattern. We've got to do things that are uncomfortable. We got to be willing to do things that are inconvenient. And God speaks them to us and he says, cut it out. Don't do this anymore. Cut that out of your life. Stop living that way. That's not pleasing to me. You're putting that before me. You're spending way more time with that than you spend with me. And it's uncomfortable and it's inconvenient. But the Lord is asking, are we willing to be inconvenienced in order to see greater glory? What do we want more? It all comes down to that, young people. It all comes down to that hyphen. What do we want more? And we trick ourselves sometimes and we deceive ourselves sometimes by doing whatever we want during the week. And we come to the house of the Lord and we say, God, we want more of your glory. We want more of your glory. We want more of your glory because it sounds good and it makes us fit in. But the reality is we don't want any more of his glory. It's just something we're saying. Because if we want more of his glory, it's not about what you say on Sunday. It's about what you do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. It's about the boundaries. And it's, Spirit, I submit to the boundaries. That's where the glory comes from. That's where the glory comes from. And so he expected his temple to look exactly like what he wanted his temple. Not just the big things. Not just the big things. Well, you know, I'm not going to steal no more. And I'm not going to cuss no more. I'm not going to commit adultery no more. Not just the big things. But everything. Not just the things that are most noticeable. But things that nobody will ever notice. That's why he says in our text, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Spirit is lowercase s, which speaks of our desires, our passions, our thoughts, and the intents of our heart, which is everything that happens in places that can't be seen. And then he says, and glorify God in your bodies, which is everything that can be seen. So he says this, you are my temple, and I have an expectation of you that you are allowing my spirit to dictate what can be seen and what can't be seen. My spirit should give you instruction, and you should be obedient to the instruction for what you look like outwardly and what we look like inwardly. Because how many know it's not enough that we just look outwardly? Because you can dress like an apostolic. Or better yet, you can dress according to the pattern that was established in the New Testament for how an apostolic believer should look. And have bitterness and jealousy and backbiting. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you come to the altar and you got some issue against a brother or a sister, you leave the offering at the altar and you go make it right. Don't come up here and lift your voice loudly and try to draw attention to yourself about how spiritual and godly you are when you're talking about other people in the church behind their back. Is that all right? individuals that want to come across as spiritual and godly and holy. They want to come across as being, you know, the super spiritual individual, and yet they're tearing other people down. And they're gossiping about other people. They're slandering other people. That's not the will of God. You might look outwardly like the Spirit wants you to look, but inwardly you're not being submitted to the Spirit of the Lord. And he's telling us it's not enough that you are just submitted to me as it looks outwardly. You also have to be submitted to me about how you look inwardly. Why? Because you're my temple. And you don't get to choose what my temple looks like. Come on, Jesus. You don't get to determine what my temple looks like. I determine what my temple looks like, both on the outside and on the inside. And if you want to be a true worshiper, you'll submit to my voice, my calling, and my word, and my man. When instruction is given to you for how I want you to look outwardly and inwardly. Lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. Stand to your feet and lift your hands. I'm not quite done, but I'll finish with you standing. Lift your hands unto the Lord right now. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. We do not get to choose what we look like outwardly and inwardly. Our responsibility is to submit ourselves to his will. Submit ourselves to his plan. Submit ourselves to his purpose. Submit ourselves to his word. Submit ourselves to what he says to do. In over 20 years of pastoring, almost 25 years of full-time ministry, I have never seen an individual who was red hot on fire for God who wanted to let down on any area as it revolves around their temple. Never. Ever. The only people who ever want to say, I don't think we need to do that. And I don't think we need to do that. The only people who I've ever seen that do that are those who are carnal. 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 Jesus, help us right now. See, carnality does not release the glory. Selfishness, self-centeredness does not release the glory. Fighting against his word does not release the glory. An unsubmitted heart does not release the glory. Passionless prayer does not release the glory. An individual who wants to live life on their terms does not release the glory. Individuals that are so stubborn, digging their feet in, kicking against the pricks, digging their feet in on this issue and that issue, even though the Spirit of the Lord has spoken it to them lovingly. They refuse. They don't want to let go. They don't want to change. That kind of individual is not a part of the equation in a local church that releases the glory of the Lord. I want to be part of the equation. So, when it was inconvenient, when it was uncomfortable, the people of God built the temple exactly, submitted to the word, the voice, the commands, the principles that God had established. Exodus 40 and verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord. Their clap. It wasn't about their words. It was about a people who went out in a hot sun, the thorny bushes, hard work, inconvenient, uncomfortable. But they said, we're submitted to the boundaries. And we want the temple to look exactly like what you said it should look like. And the Lord says, now I will honor that. And the glory. Lift your hands. Halabokotoye. Find an altar. Find an altar. Find an altar. Find an altar. Find an altar.